Welcome, everyone, to the Screamcast. I am Sean DeRager, and this is a special episode. Brad has been on assignment at South by Southwest.
You didn't even introduce me.
I'm about to introduce you. Okay. You just did it yourself. What's up?
Hi.
And with me, as always, Brad Henderson.
Hello.
Live from the field on a crappy phone.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
A crappy phone.
You don't.
I'm at South by Southwest. I'm recording in Brian's car. Not Brian Sauer, but Brian that was on our episode with us for Exterminators Year 3000. I'm in his car in a parking garage, sitting with the air on, with my phone in my hand, looking around at people looking at me.
Nice. You're just talking on the phone, man. It's no big deal.
Yeah, but I have it on like speakers so I can hear better. So I'm like holding it right in front of my face, not like a normal person. So,
you're fine. Well, today we didn't really have a release scheduled to talk. We didn't know how things were going to go with Brad being at South by Southwest. So we figured Brad seeing all these movies, I figured, you know, maybe he can run down some of the horror flicks that he's been watching. And there's been some highly anticipated ones as far as I'm concerned. We Are Still Here, that's one, right?
Yes, yes.
Had a premiere. But first, let's dive into these Blu-ray announcements here, and then I'm going to let Brad just take it away.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes, I would.
All right. Let me run down some of these Scream Factory announcements really quick, and then then we'll get to the what's out today. They announced Ghost Town, which a lot of people are very excited about. That one. That's one of the movies I recognize the cover, but I've never seen it, so I'm really very excited to check it out.
It's good.
Yeah, that's what you said, man. You told me it's good, so I'm excited. 1988. Do you know who directed it in Crap? Do you have that in your brain?
No, actually, I don't. I'll look it up. I'll pull the Sean.
Mac Alberg, starring Frank Luz, Alberg. Jimmy Skaggs, Penelope Windust, Bruce Glover. I don't know these names. Anyway, moving along, one of their four packs that they had on DVD, they're actually giving double feature treatment to the movies. Cellar Dweller and Catacombs are getting a double feature. And then The Outing and The Godsend are getting a double feature. And we're excited about The Outing, aren't we?
The Lamp. Yes. It's also called The Lamp.
Yeah. That was one you and I were going to try to cover, you know, as the four pack. But I'm glad that we're waiting now. We waited and didn't do it because I'm excited to actually see it in because they remastered these and everything. Got actual transfers. And because I think most of these were like pan and scan or just crappy, you know, whatever.
This
DVD
also tells us that they're probably not going to do DVD anymore.
Probably.
If they're going out of their way to actually put these on Blu-ray, which I was very, very surprised that they did this.
Yeah.
But I'm stoked, and that means that's probably going to be the end of the DVD bullshit.
Good. Screw DVD. So, we're done. We're in. It's 2015. Let's move along, people.
Means their other one will probably happen along with, hey, Jason Eisner's like getting out of his car right now.
Oh, wow. Name dropping.
Well, no, he's been here the whole time supporting everything. He's got a Deathgasm hat on.
Nice.
So, but anyways.
Well, that's great. And those of you who are holding out and clinging to your DVD collections and your DVD players, it's time to move on. Really. Blu-ray players are down to like $45 if you want to just get a cheap Blu-ray player. And Blu-rays, I mean, Vinegar Syndrome's new stuff. I mean, Madman's coming out for $14.99. I mean, stuff is cheap now. Time to let go. Let go. Let God. Let go.
I need you to calm down. Is what I need.
I've just seen some people on these forums and Facebook pages just.
It's so
like,
funny. Like,
and they're just like,
I'm Factory. Are you doing DVD only? Like. No. And I love that companies are like, yeah, I mean, we do combos every once in a while, but no one who the fuck is requesting DVDs? Like, it's fine if you haven't moved up or upgraded. I really don't give a fuck. But don't fucking give companies shit, because that's like bitching if they don't put shit on VHS.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, DVD's kind of over and done with. I mean, Blu-ray's out. There's going to be something after that. You know, we're going to have like the 4K stuff. And
yeah,
they're talking about those, what are those HVD things that are coming out?
I don't know, man. It's all moving too fast. It's moving
too
fast.
So get the, like, stop giving. Even companies shit, whatever. But anyways.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to what came out today. There's a gigantic list of things that have come out.
Oh, you
today.
Want to talk about the others? They're doing Jack's back too. Don't forget, Scream and Nomads. You still there?
I'm sorry, my wife walked in. What was that?
Oh, they're doing Jack's back and.
Oh yes.
Yeah, Jack's back. This guy's going to try to get in this miniature spot, and right in front of me, he's going to hit this car.
This episode is going to be awesome.
Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Oh, he's not going to be able to get out. Now he's got to back up. This is amazing. All right, so Jack's back and Nomads are going to be it. So that's he's not even going to try it. He's smart. Good boy. but yeah, those are two other ones. As far as anything else being kind of a announced lately, I don't know off the top of my head. Plus, you know, I mean, keep up with all the Facebook stuff, and you know, you'll see it. Oh, one thing is that apparently Arrow has rumor. This is something I'm excited about because it's one of my favorite slashers ever. The Mutilator apparently is they're going to be released by Arrow, and that's been one of the most ask about titles I've ever seen since Blu-ray's been around and horror movies, like all these old releases are, you know, are being re-released. That's been the one I've seen people ask for the most. So keep your eye out. That's going to be awesome because Arrow always does a pretty good job of transfers and releases and everything. So, but I've heard that the guy that owns the rights is very, very stingy, and a lot of people have went after it. So I'm surprised he actually gave it to somebody. So I imagine Arrow dropped some cash on getting that out there. So I'm hoping that the price might be hopefully okay.
Well, it's Arrow. It'll be $25.
Yeah.
You know.
How much are the regular Arrow stuff that's coming out? How much was Mark
like,
of the Devil?
Between $20 and $25, but I think it was like $24.99 on Amazon. You know, I mean, Arrow is trying to position themselves more of like Criterion. Like they're really
they're
trying.
I mean, they have a lot of package inserts.
Yeah.
And a lot of special features usually, and the packaging is always nice, but. I mean, $24.99 per movie is getting a little steep up there, you know.
I think so too.
But. I'm actually really hating that because every time you buy a movie now, buy four movies, it's $100.
Yeah.
I can go to fucking Best Buy and pick up shit for like $6.99.
I know. Every time a package comes in the mail, my wife wants to stab my eyeballs.
Hopefully, she does. I hate you.
All right. So what's out today?
Muck and Mark of the Devil, Arrow release. Oh, I mean, someone else is going to try the spot.
I hear Muck is horrible. Like, horrible. Mark of the Devil, I got that, and I'm excited to watch that thing.
Mark of the Devil's okay. I've had that VHS for quite some time, so I'll probably upgrade. But, yeah, it's okay. Muck, I haven't seen. I have, but I've been busy with everything going on and
in
the South by Southwest, and now I'm here, so I haven't watched shit.
I've seen some scathing reviews, especially people saying that he... seriously, from people that I trust, saying that relies on, like, exploitation and nudity almost overboard.
That sounds sexy.
But it's, like, past the point of, like, sexy to the point of, like, okay, you know... It's not. I don't know. It can't. There's like a fine line.
These are the
line.
Same people that really like the original "I Spit on Your Grave," so I call it. I call bullshit.
It's by Twitter name Freddie. Is it Freddie in Space?
Oh yeah,
John Squire.
It's funny because I've told him we talk about him every once in a while.
Yeah.
On this podcast,
follow his account. I forget his last name is Squires.
I do. Yeah. I've just got done DM him the other day. He commented on my. Dread Central, because he writes for Dread Central, and I made a little Twitter comment, kind of a poke. I just said, you know, seems like Dread Central's becoming clickbait, and I kind of regretted it later on. It was just a few articles that I saw,
here or there that just, they really weren't articles. It was just kind of bullshit. So he DM'd me, and he was really cool about it. He just, you know, said, hey, what do you see? You know, cause I said Dread Central is like one of my favorite sites. You know, so it's kind of a shame to see like this kind of bullshit stuff, you know, being written. And you know, he made a good point, and you know, he said, you know, we're always trying to better ourselves. And I redacted. I was like, yeah. You know, it's kind of a knee jerk tweet. I really didn't mean it.
Yeah,
you know,
most of these guys,
he's a pretty cool guy. He's a good writer too.
Yeah, very good writer. I dig his writing a lot. So everyone, follow him and tell him we sent you. Tell him the Screamcast sent you. That'd be nice.
Screamcast sent you.
Cool. Well, let's jump into your South by Southwest stuff, man.
You want to talk about your mugs? You've been pimping those fucking mugs out like a motherfucker.
Okay. Well, at the end of the show, stick around. We're gonna do
doing a giveaway.
We're gonna do a giveaway. You're gonna have to.
Oh shit! Can I win it?
No, you can't. But basically,
how are we gonna do a giveaway? Is it gonna be a question? You didn't even tell me about this.
I'm pulling something out of my ass here. But we're gonna have you guys email us, and everyone who emails gets put into a hat, and then we'll read your emails on the show. It'll be kind of a question.
We're gonna get called for favoritism. Already,
I don't think so, because I'm gonna live on next week's show. I'll pull a name out of a hat. But it's some coffee shop with Horace Coffee, and then mugs. And people have been asking for mugs. These mugs look awesome. Like, I'm really impressed.
I
need
to
they
get
look.
One.
And I want to start, you know, selling them, but I'm trying to get a decent price point. Because we're not going to make shit off these, really. I mean, you guys are going to be getting them at cost, you know. So technically it's not helping out the show any, but it's getting you guys a cool mug that if people can see and ask for it. You know, you can spread the word. So
get a mug.
All right. Are you done mumbling yourself? You're the co-host. Of course, you're gonna get a mug. So shut up.
I'm waiting on it. I saw you drink out of it, and I basically have to drink out of.
I'm gonna send you the one that my lips were on.
I have to suck fluid off the ground because I don't have a mug to drink it out of.
All right, stop your bitching. So you're at South by Southwest.
I am at South by Southwest. My first South by experience.
Most of you who listen to the show probably know what South by Southwest is. It's in Austin, Texas. It's first half of it is more of a movie festival, independent movie festival, quote unquote independent movie festival. We'll get to that in a second. And then the second half is music. And since I did college radio and stuff like that, and I kind of had worked for a lot of bands and everything, I always knew about the music part, but I didn't really didn't really know about the film part until I started really becoming.
But yeah, the music actually started today.
Okay, so you're seeing a lot of mustaches and skinny jeans.
Yeah, well,
or is that seeped into the film festival?
Well, South by Southwest. This is my first experience, and it's a tremendous festival. I absolutely love it. I'm going to be on that bandwagon. I never want to miss a South by Southwest because I didn't know it was this cool. I've always wanted to come, and I had the opportunity. I got some favors pulled for me, which I was very, very appreciative of. So I was very, very happy about that. So I'm here, and it's South by, like, the movies are kind of spread out between a bunch of local theaters all around town. The biggest venue for me that's more important is South Lamar, which is the Alamo Draft House, which is most notable for Fantastic Fest. So I've kind of been staying here. I've went downtown a couple times for some premieres, for some independent midnighters. So I've made my way downtown a couple times. It's a fucking disaster, man. It's like so crazy. Actually, Jason Eisner's Turbo Kid is playing tonight, which I'm dying to see, but being it's St. Patty's Day on top of it.
Oh God.
And being
stay away from downtown.
The drunken fucking apocalypse going down there. I am actually going to see Turbo Kid. I think it plays here tomorrow night. So I'm seeing the Diabolical tonight.
Cool.
Also, John Portanova texted me, which he was on the show a couple times. He's the writer of Invoking and The Device, and has a movie coming out called that he wrote and directed called Valley of Sasquatch. Well, anyways, his movie, The Invoking, is getting a Blu-ray release.
Oh, sweet.
So that's cool. It's getting paired with something called, I think, The Wicked. But he gave a shout out, you know, he texted me during the podcast or during the festival. So I figured I'd shout that out.
Nice.
But what reminded me is he said that apparently one of his schoolmates wrote and directed the Diabolical. So I'll be seeing that tonight. That starts at midnight. But anyways, yeah, so it's a pretty cool festival. It's all over the place. I've been staying at Lamar for the most part. It's been a fucking fantastic, experience. Saw some really, really great shit. So, yeah, whatever you want to hear, I'll talk about, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of dramas and stuff like that too, that are playing. I mean, it's not really a genre festival per se.
Right.
It's kind of everything.
I think what I want to hear is the genre things that you've seen, and
yeah,
I'm trying to find your Twitter account's ridiculous. Let me go to the Screamcast one and kind of see the ones you've
too ridiculous. Well,
you're going back and forth with Adrian Charlie for a while.
Oh yeah, we were just bitching
listener
about
of the
what
show,
was going on.
Adrian Charlie.
But anyways, I mean, I have a pretty good memory. I saw about 20 some movies, I think, so far, but yeah, so other Midnighters, Ted Gagans and Travis Steven produced. I talked to Travis for a little while here. Always a cool guy to speak to. He loves the Screamcast and all that. But anyways, we are still here premiered, which I fucking loved. It's so good. It's a very simple ghost story that we're very, very familiar with, but it's presented to us in a more modern sense, more modern being, if you remember stuff from the 70s, especially haunted house movies from the 70s that are creepy. The cinematography is amazing, which that's what this has. It has that glossy, like Hammer look, that British horror glossy look for the most part. It kind of has that stilted dialogue at times, but I believe it's all intentional, of course. Just great visuals, but the only thing that's modern is one thing that those movies lack in, like, the Hammer and Haunted House movies from the 70s is gore and kills, kind of. Well, this one fucking goes all out with blood, which was a nice to see. So that was kind of the I mean, like, even Ted presented it. He said, you know, this is a very familiar story. You've seen this movie before. It's just, you know, I wanted to pay kind of homage to everything and you kind of do my own thing and make it more modern. And that's exactly what it did. And he pulled it off excellent. And I know that there's going to be a little bit of flack saying, oh, it's nothing new.
Oh, we'll get some Babadook flack. Like, of course, everyone will start trashing it.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Babadook is very... it's kind of has a underlying story to it, which I'm not going to say because it's obviously not out yet, but right. There's a little bit more to it than what it is. So I'm kind of excited to see the general response for that film, to see what people really truly believe it is. I think it's a really fascinating story, also directed by a woman, just to let everybody know. The other one that I saw is my number one of the festival so far, and I can almost guarantee it's going to be in my top 10 of the year. It's called The Invitation. It's directed by Karen, another woman, by the way, Karen Kassaman, I think is how you say it. She directed Girl Fight with Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, okay.
She directed Jennifer's Body.
Cool.
She directed the Aeon Flux movie. But anyways, all right. Hold your horses, Sean. Well, anyways, this is another film that's very kind of low key, very basic, but great script, great characters, great chemistry. It's kind of predictable. Not kind of, it's very predictable of what's going on, but it's very haunting. Because you kind of know where it's going. You just are scared to death when it's going to happen and when it's going to be revealed. It's kind of set off early on what's going on, because actually the characters talk about it. You know, there's a whole sequence where they sit down and they talk about it, and you're like, oh, okay, I kind of saw that coming a little bit. But it's just how it unfolds is just unsettling, because you're just waiting for like the wick to burn out and then everything explode. And when it does, holy fucking shit, it goes crazy. It's fucking so good. It's by far one of my favorites of the festival. And like I said, it's going to probably be in my top 10, a great, great script. And that's one thing that this festival seems to have that I mentioned today to some friends, is that a lot of the movies are very simple. Very simple stories, but great script and with just great direction, great acting, just great everything, mm-hmm. but very simple, basic stories that we're very familiar with. A couple other Midnighters, there was Avis Possessions, which I wasn't that big of a fan of. It's kind of well-liked around here. But it felt like, if Twilight and Warm Bodies, kind of the same thing, just with a ghost story in general. So it kind of has a unique premise. It's about a girl that was possessed and she's recovering from it. So it's very comical at times, because she's trying to recoup and goes into a program and everything, but it's a little too funny at times. Like, I'm not like funny haha, it just tries to be really funny for me. And it kind of has that teen bubblegum pop thing going for it. Kind of like I said, Twilight, Warm Bodies or whatever the fuck it was, that zombie movie that came out a couple years ago. So I wasn't really a fan of that one. But like I said, I'm kind of in the minority, I feel, on that one. One that I saw last night was called The Corpse of Anna Fritz. It's about a very popular actress. She's dead. The movie starts with her dead, and she's in the morgue. And a couple guys go to the morgue, and they have some fun. And it kind of goes on from there. It's very low-key. It's one location. Oh, that's another thing about these movies, too, is that a lot of these movies are one locations. Like, they don't go out of that element. It's kind of fascinating, too. It seems like a running theme. But it's okay movie. It does some new creative things. It's sick at times, but it's not distasteful at all. Like, when it very first starts, I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's gonna be an hour and a half of guys fucking a corpse. But it's not what it is. It reminded me a little bit of, there's a short film. I don't forget how long it is, like 30 or 45 minutes, but it's called Aftermath. And it's literally a mortician fucking a dead corpse for 30 minutes. It's really bizarre.
How would you compare this to Dead Girl? Sort of premise, but it's a zombie girl.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't compare them at all, to be honest with you. It's a completely different film. This one's it's well shot, and which I don't consider Dead Girl that great, to be honest with you. It's okay for the most part. But, it's just very, just a low-key kind of suspense. It's not really too much horror to it, but, it's decent. The one big hit for me, again, was one of my favorites of the festival. It's called Deathgasm.
Yeah.
Fucking completely insane. It's from New Zealand, which New Zealand has been, kind of revving it back up from kind of the Peter Jackson days with Bad Taste and Dead Alive and all that. It's kind of told being ultra gory. We had Housebound, which was from last year, and now we have Deathgasm, which is another Ant Tipson. He produces along with Tim Lee for the ABCs of Death and stuff. But Deathgasm's very much in vein of Black Roses, Trick or Treat, Evil Dead 2 type stuff, where it's just a couple metalheads uncover a written song that was unreleased by this band called Hacks and Sword. Yes. And they play it, and they release this evil presence that turns people into fucking demonic zombies. And they use metal music and gardening tools to fucking annihilate everything.
Dude, it's like Dead Alive mixed with Black Roses and Trick or Treat.
Yeah, very much so. But it has that kind of Evil Dead comical feel, where there's just a lot of fucking blood, buckets of blood. People just vomiting blood. Heads getting chopped off. Weed eaters to the face. Chainsaws to the chest. all that kind of stuff. It was a great crowd, great soundtrack, all, you know, black metal and everything like that. Really, really fun characters too. And true metalheads made this movie. Like, cool. That's the one thing about heavy metal horror that always lacks, is that it's kind of a big part of the movie, but it misinterprets kind of the lifestyle that they lead, and how they are. You know, it's just kind of like a thing thrown into the mix. Mm-hmm. This actually feels like these guys are true metalheads, like the actors themselves, because the way they carry themselves, the things that they talk about. You know, because there was actually a statement, one of the lines from the movie, non-spoiler, of course. This is a spoiler-free episode.
Of course.
Yeah, because these movies don't even have distribution half the time. Dark Sky Films picked an MPI, picked up Deathgasm, cool. And We Are Still Here, so you can expect those. I will say, I can't say the date, Travis Stevens told me, but the VOD for We Are Still Here is right around the corner, so be prepared for that.
Okay.
Unless something happens, and then that might change, but I'm not going to say any dates because I won't stir any bullshit.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Deathgasm.
Deathgasm, yes. Man.
It's just, there's a line in Deathgasm where one of the guys says, you know, because he's asked, you know, why do you listen to this people screaming and stuff? And he said, you know, life just fucking sucks sometimes. And when you can listen to something and people are going through the same pain as you, that feels good. And I was like, you know, it hits the nail right on the head, because that's kind of what it's about. Like, yeah. that music might be angry, but the reason why people are listening is they're angry too. And if you can have a coping mechanism with something that's so frustrating and angry, that does feel good.
Yeah.
If you fucking sit there and you're miserable and you're listening to fucking happy fucking happy song by Pharrell, you're gonna want to fucking kill yourself.
Exactly. Or someone
else. If you're
else.
Listening to some heavy metal about people like going through breakups, or you know they're just having the worst time, or that, you know, fuck everybody, that feels good because it's how you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, that's why always I think punk and metal always get misinterpreted through film and everything else, really, because it's more of a lifestyle they lead rather than kind of a genre of music.
Yeah.
And Deathgasm gets it right. It cool. really does, because it's, even though it's not very character driven, there's a lot of moments to where you know that metal's being portrayed correctly in this movie. And that actually felt good, you know, being kind of a metalhead myself. I really appreciated that line and a few other things in the film that you'll see, but it's a lot of fun. It's very much Peter Jackson type shit, you know, just gore filled fun with a killer soundtrack.
Nice.
So that's definitely something to look forward to. And both of those are already have distros, so I imagine they'll be coming around shortly. I also got a hat during the screening and some pins.
Awesome. The poster is awesome for Deathgasm.
Which one is the poster that you saw? Because it's funny,
the one of the metal hand, the horns, man, the freaking rock and roll horns.
It's funny because they told a story during the Q&A that how that movie got funded was basically the poster.
Nice.
So it was some kind of competition in New Zealand for like movie posters, and they had a poster before they had the movie, very much like a Roger Corman thing, where they would, you know, like they would sell a movie just based on the poster with no script. So that's kind of how that happened, and they won the award. I guess that's the same poster, because it's the only poster that I've seen so far.
Well, it's just great. It's simple. It totally brings across the idea. This is a heavy metal horror movie. I mean, when I first saw that poster, I was like, what's this movie? Is this something I missed from the 80s or what? But I totally got it. This is a heavy metal horror movie, man. Awesome.
Yeah. No. So it's great. I mean, it's definitely going to be a horror and heavy metal kind of go hand in hand with the horror. I shouldn't say that. I should just say heavy metal kind of goes hand in hand with horror movie fans
uh-huh.
a lot. So this is a perfect blend, and in very much in vein of those 80s films.
Cool.
So yeah, and there's some other films that are playing that I haven't seen yet. Of course, Turbo Kid, that's premiering tonight, so I imagine you'll see a lot of talk on that. I have no doubts about that movie, to be honest with you. I wish I was seeing it tonight, but I really don't want to deal with the dodging green puke in the downtown area. But I'll be seeing that soon, and I'll tweet about it. Pod is another one. Apparently, it's the buddies of the guys that brought us Almost Human. So that's kind of like an alien gross out movie. The Diabolical, which I'm going to see tonight. He Never Dies is another one. I think Henry Rollins stars in that, and that's getting a lot of good buzz. So I'm excited to see that. As far as I think that's Excess Flesh is another one that that's going to play that I'm going to see soon. Another one was Nina Forever. Kind of an interesting plot. The guy, his girlfriend has already passed. He meets somebody else, but every time he has sex with her, his dead girlfriend comes back from under the bed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He doesn't, like, keep her or anything. She just appears. It's very odd, but it blossoms into this weird relationship, and it's very oozy and gross. A lot of blood and sex and nudity and stuff. I know that sounds great, but I wasn't that big of a fan of the movie. So
you did tweet that it may have given you a stiffy.
Well, yeah, it definitely gave me this kind of a stiffy because there's a little, girl's a little cute, so she's got nice boobies. So, but I mean, all in all, it's an okay movie. It's not bad or anything. Cool. Another one that kind of is a genre movie that I I've been very vague about because also I see a lot of people tweeting about it, and they're kind of spoiling it for people. Even though it's not like hidden in the movie, you find out what's going on within like the first 10-15 minutes, but it's quite a surprise when it happens, because I went completely blind because it was the premiere of it, and you know, when it happened, it was a fucking great experience. Even though it's very small and it's, you know, early on what it is, it's pretty cool. It's called 1 and 2, and it is the best superhero origin movie that never that doesn't exist, really, because it's not obviously superheroes, but it has that kind of mythology, it feels. It's about a brother and sister that have a power, that they possess a special power together that they're able to do, and it goes on from there. It's a great bonding, the bond between siblings. Kind of just a relationship between them both. There's some hardships in the family, and they have this thing that they can do, and it's pretty badass. And it's a great sci-fi movie. Cool. But it's very extremely low key, and some of the best special effects you'll see for an indie sci-fi movie ever. Like, nice. When it happens, I was blown away. I was like, "Fuck, man, that looks so good." And you wonder why, like, some of these X-Men and you know, Avengers movies, like when they do certain things, it's like, God damn, why can't they make it look good? Why does it look kind of, you know, cheap or Hollywood-ish?
They don't have time to finish it. That's why. They just...
That's the thing. And when it happens in this, you're like, man, that looks really fucking good. Yeah. Like, so it's pleasantly surprised. But like I said, it's another one of those very simple stories. Kind of, it's one location for the most part until, you know, some stuff unfolds. But, you know, it's kind of a family relationship drama. But cool. It's very, very cool. And I hope that it gets picked up. I don't think it got picked up any so far.
Okay.
I think it's played twice. But, man, it's really fucking good. But it seems that a lot of these movies are kind of going to get shit because they're kind of simple. You know, and it feels that people want more out of these things, and they're just very normal and, you know, just movies. You know, nothing too crazy. It's just it's more stuff you can relate to. You know, instead of fucking some kind of mind fuck like The Matrix. You know, it's very realistic. You know, you can live with these people because you've been through the same shit they have.
Yeah.
There's another film, not non-horror at all. It was one of my favorites of the festival. Again, it's probably like my number two, I would say. Number three, maybe. It's called Lamb. Apparently it's based off a book. But anyways, it's just about a story about an older man who's, I think he said he's like 47 or something, befriends a little girl that's 11. And they blossom into this weird relationship. It's non pedo at all, but it you know, it's just a heads up because that's kind of what it's presented as a little bit, what it feels like at first, and you're like, oh shit, this is gonna be really weird. But it's not. It's basically, it feels like a daddy-daughter thing, you know. Okay. It's two complete strangers that blossom into this badass relationship, really, and it's just a great character development and stuff like that. And I really dug that one a lot. So
what I'm going to do is I'll put a list in the show notes of the movies we talk about, so that way people can, you know, look them up and hopefully garner interest that way, you know, who knows. Yeah. So we'll do that. But
I know another. I forgot.
Oh, go for it.
The Nightmare. It's a Rodney Asher movie, directed Room 237, kind of the quote unquote documentary about The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good, called S from Hell. Well, anyways, he did this movie called The Nightmare, and it's half a documentary, half reenactments, and it's about a group of like seven people that have like crazy fucking night terrors. So it's them telling their stories, and then the film is him reenacting them. So they, you know, they hired actors and everything, showing what these people said they saw. It's kind of scary at times, but being that it's reenactments, it kind of takes you out of it a little bit.
Reenactments feel very like TV, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they are, and they're very much presented that way. Like, at times you can, you know, because the reenactments, let's see how the best to describe this. The reenactment happens, but you can like see the people getting like the creatures things getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's even one shot of like the, because it's mostly based around shadow men, and like one of the shadow men is like in a doorway like hovering over somebody, and then the camera pans over and then he moves on to the next room to where another reenactment's happened, and he like puts on a cloak or something, and then hovers over the bed on somebody else. So that's not scary to me, you know. There's a couple like quick cuts that make you jump because there's screaming involved, but for the most part, it's just, I don't know. It's a cool concept, but even somebody that had night terrors, such as myself when I was younger, that I don't really talk about very much, it kind of sparked something in my mind that it made me remember certain things that I obviously tried to forget when I was younger, even though I really like night terrors now, I think, because I'm older and I enjoy nightmares, oddly enough. But yeah, I went through this thing when I was little where I had them, and it was fucking terrifying. Wow. So I kind of know, like, I can go into it if you want, Sean. They're pretty scary.
Oh, if you want to, I mean, are we good on time?
Yeah, we're fine on time. I'm just going to say, fuck my next movie.
No. I actually have to get going soon.
But, like, how long, Sean? You're now the listener.
I know.
In suspense.
I know. Give me one of your one of the night terrors.
It's a continuous night terror.
Okay.
It never changed.
Okay.
The first one I can remember was the original, and when it very first happened, I was in my room and had to go to the bathroom, so I stepped out of my room. And we lived upstairs, and my room was, and this was when I was like, you know, six, probably, I would say maybe two or three. When do you start fucking walking and going to the bathroom by yourself? Three?
Three.
Yeah, okay. So,
well, you're walking by two, but you go to the bathroom by yourself. I mean, it depends,
yeah.
But I'd say three or four. Maybe
I actually learned fairly quickly. I had a like little potty myself. Like you bought this, like they bought me like a little, like it was gross because you had to like pull out like the pot and like dump it. But yeah, that's how I learned. But anyways, I was going to the bathroom by myself at a very, very young age. So anyways, I walk out and it's very, very dark. But our downstairs to where the stairwell was lit. And I walked out and there was this thing. It wasn't really considered a shadow man, but it was something. It had long fingers and white eyes, and it wasn't black or dark. You could make out certain textures on its face. It's very hard to explain. Very much like a skull, you know, and like really like kind of thin hair. And it was, you know, kind of crawling up the stairs, and it looked at me. So I ran back in my room, and I kind of had this like little cubby hole where I would keep toys and stuff like that. So I hid in there, and I woke up and I was in there. That was the scary part.
Oh shit.
And I pissed myself My mom came in. She was screaming because I wasn't in my bed. And then I, like, you know, she opened up the, I said, mom, and she opened up the thing, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, you know, I had to go to the bathroom. I saw something in the hallway and it scared me. And she's like, oh, whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's probably those horror movies you watch. clean me up, went to bed the next night. And it kept happening. Not to where I pissed myself because I was holding it. But I would get to kind of, I would fall asleep, and then I would, and then I started dreaming these things where I would wake up in bed. But I would dream that I would get to the door and the thing would be closer. And when I would open up the door, it would be a, like, one step closer to me. And this is a long hallway. And these dreams happened for quite some time. But every fucking night, I would dream the exact same thing.
Wow.
And so it was basically a sleep paralysis thing where I, like, I would wake up, but I, like, I would get to the door, but I, then I couldn't move. It would just creep, like, creep one step, and then I would, like, wake up, but I would be in a, like, a sweat, and I would be breathing really heavy, and, like, I could feel my heart racing. I was really scared, and I told my mom, and she was like, you know, you're just having nightmares and everything like that. So here's the scary part. Is that it got closer and closer and closer to the point where I was almost at my door. And now this is going on for,
wow,
you know, probably maybe like 6 months, 7 months, whatever. We moved. Okay. We moved to Florida. Didn't have them ever. Okay. They stopped completely. The night that I moved out of the house and I went to bed at that hotel on our way there, I didn't have it. I remembered. It was a very traumatic experience. I can remember those types of things. I don't remember anything else. I remember that. Didn't have it since.
That's crazy.
Here's the crazy part.
Oh, shit.
This is the part that really terrified me. Moved to Florida. Would visit Ohio again and again. This was in Pennsylvania. All this happened.
Yeah.
So we are on a road trip, and we go to meet my grandfather in Pennsylvania. Well, on the way there, my dad says, well, let's stop by the old house. Just to see how it changed. So we pull up to the old house. My dad gets out. He talks to the guy. He says, you know, hey, we lived here. We just want to see what's new. And the guy was very welcoming. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, come in. Could be killers. Who knows? But anyways, he let us in, walked around, everything like that. Everything was honky-dory. Got back in the car, drove to my grandfather's house. That night, I had the same fucking nightmare. But the thing spoke this time. And he just said, I will see you soon. And it was very, very creepy. And I haven't had any sense.
Wow.
So the cool thing about the nightmare, not cool thing, the thing that really bothered me in the nightmare is that your heart rate goes up to the point of where almost these people are having heart attacks. And there's been people that have died in their sleep from heart attacks. And some of those people have experienced night terrors. That's where the whole story from A Nightmare on Elm Street comes from Wes Craven, because there's somebody that really had night terrors and they died in their sleep.
And I think they even said that, like, this guy in my dream is going to kill, like, you know.
Yeah, no, that's how you feel. And in this documentary, that's what people say. Like, they're on the borderline having a heart attack, and they had to get through these things through different methods of being cured. And so I think back, what if we didn't move? Like, what I, at that point when it was getting so close to my door, I was to the point of where I was almost like, I was little, but it felt like I was maybe having a little bit of a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Like, I was just scared. I was trying to tell my mom, but she blamed the movies. She just said I was having nightmares. I don't think she was familiar with sleep paralysis or the night terrors. So to the point where I was in tears when I would have to go to bed, to the point where I felt like something might happen to me. And being at such a young age feeling that, that's probably why I'm so fucked up these days. But what if I didn't move? Like, what if it made it to my door? I would have had a heart attack? Would have died in my sleep?
That's crazy, man. Who knows?
You know, it's very bizarre of, like, how that works. It made Sark made me think, and it actually brought back all those terrible memories.
Wow.
Because I blocked that out. And I never really told anybody. Of course, I've told the whole world now. But I told my my friends that I saw in Austin with, and, you know, we talked about it and night terrors. And, but yeah, it's just something. So if you have had night terrors and suffered from them, like real legitimate night terrors, I'm not talking about nightmares.
Yeah.
Because nightmares everybody has. I'm talking about fucking night terrors. Like, if you have night terrors, you know. If you think you have, you like, oh, I might have had night terrors. No, you haven't. Because you're going to fucking know, because it's one of the most terrifying things in your life.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you've had night terrors, I might not suggest the nightmare. It does bring up everything that people experience.
That's crazy.
And it's very, very, very scary shit. So, but again, I wasn't that big of a fan. I just thought they kind of misinterpreted a little bit of what it was. I wish it more or less focused on the documentary part of kind of the science behind it. And they kind of go into the science a little bit. But I wish it stuck with that instead of kind of the reenactments trying to scare the fuck out of you. because it's actually not what you visualize.
Yeah.
People. It's yourself, how you feel.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting, man.
It's interesting. Rodney Asher is an interesting guy. I mean, yeah. He's not making bland documentaries or mockumentaries or whatever you want to call it. Even though I didn't care for all Room 237, it's a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah. I've been meaning to watch that.
It's bullshit, but at least it's interesting. The same thing of the nightmare. I wouldn't consider it bullshit, but it's just he had gold, and I just don't feel that he struck.
Okay,
it.
Right. Maybe
kind of had it on a plate to him, and he kind of flipped the plate and said, "Fuck it, I'm going to do my own thing."
Interesting.
But nice. It'll make you bring up some memories. That's what it did for me.
Cool. I would love to make it to South by Southwest, hopefully in the future, sometime soon, next few years. But we got to wrap up here. Let's go ahead and do our little contest thing. I want you guys, if you want to win this awesome looking mug and this tasty coffee, all you have to do is email us at readme@thescreamcast.com. Subject line.
Okay, I'll email you.
Subject line. Screamcast mugs contest, whatever. So what I want to hear from you guys is like name like one movie that you went in totally fresh and that you were surprised by, and then to this day, even though it has mixed reviews or maybe even people crapped on it, it still remains like one of your favorite movies. Just let us know like that story, and we'll read it. We'll pick the best ones. We'll read them on the show. And then we'll throw all the names in the hat and draw the winner.
All right, I'll do that.
And make sure you guys include. Well, I guess we'll have your email addresses, but Brad is not eligible.
Okay.
Neither's Brian Sauer, unfortunately. But we'd love to hear from you again. The email is readme at thescreamcast.com. Subject line. Screamcast mug contest.
What's the contest? I'm like not really clear. What do I have to do?
Shut up.
So basically, people are going to email about, is it movies that we talked about?
No, any movie you've seen, any genre type movie that you went in completely fresh, like at a festival.
Just movies in general.
Any movie in general. Like I would like to keep it genre, like horror, sci-fi, stuff like that. But anything like that that you saw. That you saw for the first time and it really stuck with you because of that viewing, and that you went in totally fresh, you know, no trailers, only saw the poster or whatever. Let us know that story, and we will read those stories. And I think we just lost Brad. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank all of you for listening to this little special episode, a little South by Southwest genre roundup. Huge thank you to oneofus.net for hosting the show. Also, huge thank you to nerdly.co.uk for hosting our show over there across the pond. Also, huge thank you to Wolfman of Mars. They have a new album coming out very soon, and I'm super excited for it. It sounds, so far, everything that I've heard has sounded amazing. So, really excited to have that album come out. And, of course, we have partnered up with Coffee Shop of Horrors. If you order their coffee, put in Screamcast as the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off of your next order. Follow them on Twitter at CSOH and let them know we sent you. As far as those mugs go, the one that we're giving away next week, I'm going to put up, I think, I'm going to put up some sort of pre-order, and you'll have to pay for it up front, but the mugs are a click of a button away for ordering, so that won't be a problem as far as things not getting made. So I'm going to put up a pre-order link for the mugs within the next few days, so stay tuned to our Twitter, Scream_cast, and our Facebook page, which I believe is facebook.com/screamcast2014. And we'll have information for the pre-ordering the mugs. And once I get those in, I'll do an end date. Once I get all those orders in, I'll place the order, and we'll get them. So, that'll do it for this week's show. I want to thank all of you again for listening.
It's just begun. Bye.